Well, as you can see here, the title of our message is Along the Pilgrim Path. This is a third in this series we're talking about. We'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4. God has made certain promises to believers who are traveling along the pilgrim path toward heaven. And one of these promises is His peace. And I have so longed and looked forward to sharing this message with you because the Lord has put it on my heart that there's someone here who needs God's peace. You need God's peace. So I thank you. First of all, I just thank every one of you for the privilege of standing before you and sharing the Word of God. I thank God for that privilege. But I thank you for coming and allowing that. And you came out on a rainy day, and a lot of folks, you know, it's a good excuse to stay home, just pull the covers up, you know, and hang out. But you came out. And I believe God has a word for you today, and it has to do with His peace. This message is for every troubled soul. This message is for every believer. This message is for you. So I want you to look at someone nearby and say, this message is for you. And this message is not about just any peace. This is about God's peace. And there are a lot of things in this world that can rob us of our peace. If you know about that, say amen. When you hear about mass shootings and gang violence and social unrest and the threat of war and what seems to be a rising number of natural disasters who are just becoming more and more severe and deadly, these are just a few things. And these are difficult days and they're trying times, and chaos is rapidly becoming the defining thing, characteristic of our era. And today men seek peace and find destruction. And they strive for accord and reap confusion. True peace comes only through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And that title, Prince of Peace, is just one of His titles, but it's very important. It's a very important title, Jesus Christ, whose royalty is wrapped up in His peace, wants you to have and experience His bountiful, divine peace. Jesus told His disciples that they would suffer many hardships and they would not suffer them alone because His peace would be with them and bring them through. He proclaimed in John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus offers His peace to everyone who chooses to become His disciple. I mean, He even greeted His disciples. We shared this a couple weeks ago. The greeting of His day was shalom. And when Jesus showed up amongst His disciples, He'd say shalom, which is peace. So He literally would say peace. So look at somebody and say peace. That Hebrew word for peace is vital at His ascension. When He went up to heaven, He left His peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, I am leaving with you a gift, peace of God, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I want you to get that today. Jesus is saying to you, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Just take my peace and let it rest in your heart. And yeah, the world is on its way to that fiery demise I talk about all the time. But Christians who are on their pilgrimage toward heaven, you don't have to worry about that. You've been given a gift from God. You know you have eternal life. You know you're going to wind up in heaven. That's where your future is. But you can also know with an absolute calm assurance that you have God's peace right alongside of you. It's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. In fact, it's such a wonderful gift from God that it also becomes one of the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He produces things in us that exude out to those around us. And one of those is peace. Do you see the peace of God in your life? Do you know it's there? Are you sure of God's peace? Are you experiencing His peace even if you're in a trouble or a difficulty? God promises peace. Accept it. Walk in it. God's perfect peace can be yours, and it will come to you when you make peace with God. This is an undeniable fact, absolutely undeniable fact. The peace of God requires peace with God. If you want the peace of God, you need to have peace with God. So do you have peace with God? Because you can't get it, that peace of God, without it. Someone said, peace is the deliberate adjustment of my life to the will of God. The greatest place of peace for me is in the will of God for me. You will not know true peace until you know the peacemaker, the peace giver, and his name is Jesus. It's easy. Peace with God is easy. You just believe in Jesus Christ. You place your trust in him. When you declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead and he is who he claims to be, God's peace comes. It's a beautiful, wonderful transition that takes place. So you should experience that. So true peace begins with God and comes to everyone who makes Jesus their Lord. It is available to you. And that's why the Bible tells us we should live a peace-filled life. That's why peace is so important. You want to disrupt the world around you? Walk in peace while everybody else is frustrated and worried. They'll see it. They'll understand something different about you. I want to know what it is. Our text is a good place to start on this journey of peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Let's say that together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your wonderful, life-giving, calming, assuring peace that comes from knowing you. We submit ourselves now to you and to that peace. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here who's struggling with worries and fears and doubts, that today their souls, their minds, every aspect of their being will be flooded with your peace. In your holy name, amen. Are you struggling to attain peace in your life? I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. Because this world is struggling to find peace. In fact, if you have worry in your life, if there is fear in your life, you are part of a global condition. There's passages in Philippians gives us the cause and the cure for the absence of peace. The cause of worry. And the reason peace isn't around is because of worry. In fact, our number one point is worry hinders peace. Worry hinders peace. In the verse is a clear warning against worry. You read it with me. Do not worry. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Straightforward. And Matthew, in fact, it doesn't just say do not worry. It said do not worry about anything. I dare you to write on the top of that note out there somewhere what you're worrying about right now. What has you worried? It's okay. God didn't bring you into this kingdom because you were perfect. In fact, he knows all your imperfections. That's a scary thought, isn't it? God knows every problem and issue in your life, and he still loves you completely. He can't love you any more than he loves you right now, and he'll never love you any less than he loves you right now. Be brave. Put it down there in writing. This worries me. And then see what God can say to you about that. Because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus preached a sermon. And if you were going to give that sermon a title, I think the best title for the sermon would be Do Not Worry. If we're to obey the Lord, then worry cannot and should not be a part of our lives. Jesus recognized the lack of peace among his people. He saw their total dependence upon money. They were looking to money to solve their problems. They trusted money instead of trusting God. He saw the worry and stress that it brought them. Has anybody had any stress regarding money in the last few days? Okay. Most people today are the same. They're just like that. And a lot of people in this world have made, and I think foolishly, made money their God. I'm glad that we can still say that on our currency, it says, in God we trust. We have a reminder on the U.S. dollar and all the currency of the United States. And when we look at that, it's a reminder not to trust in the money, but to trust in the Maker, God Himself. But it's obvious, isn't it, that a lot of people in America don't trust God. They trust money. For many Americans, that motto should be actually, in money we trust. They want more of it. And I got news for you. Trusting money will lead to worry. And trusting God will lead to peace. Jesus addressed this issue in that sermon, Do Not Worry. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. Because it's a good sermon and you need to hear it. Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 25, Jesus said, because you're so worried about money, and because money is your God, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, say, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus' sermon had three points. And all three points were the same thing. Do not worry. You can look for yourself. Three times in this passage, Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry. Look at someone and say, do not worry. Oh, come on. Act like you're preaching to them. There you go. There are absolutely no benefits derived whatsoever from worry. Someone said worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. A rocking chair might actually have some benefits, okay? Rocking sometimes is a good thing. But worry has no benefits. And here is a clear truth that you must accept today. Worry is sin. No place for worry in the life of a believer. Worry disrupts your mental capacity. It reduces your usefulness to God. Worry is an activity that literally retards and holds back your spiritual life. It distorts your focus on God. You cannot function at 100% in the spiritual realm when you're shrouded in the fog of worry. Someone said, worry is a complete cycle of inefficient thought revolving around a pivot of fear. So fear brings worry, and worry feeds fear. Fear breeds worry, and worry feeds fear. And this cycle continues, this never-ending cycle that eventually winds up in gloom and doom. Worry is sin. So if you worry, the best way out is to repent. Give it to God. And change your motto back to, in God I trust. If you're worried, it's because you don't trust God. If you worry, it's because your trust of God has been limited in somehow. And most likely it's because of the worry. So you got to give it up. Because worry can harm you. Worry can cause a lot of problems. Worry and doubt, they're the offspring of fear. And these things can lead to some dreadful conditions. And they can inflict real and lasting damage. In Cambodia, during the nation's water festival in 2010, more than 370 people died and hundreds more were wounded on this festival, the last day of the festival, because there was a boat race that took place and so many people had come together. 10 people in the crowd fainted from the press of the crowd. When the folks around them saw the fainting, they thought there might be some kind of disease, and suddenly fear spread through that crowd. And before the thing was over, people were jumping off bridges and grabbing power lines to get out of the crowd because of fear. And all of them, 370 people, died because of mass panic. You say, wow, what a strange event. Well, I'm here to tell you, there are many mass panic events. You can go look it up for yourself. And all of these mass panic events are fueled by mass fear, widespread fear. Your fear can spread to others. You can become a fear monger. And the dictionary says that's a spreader of fear. That is not someone you want to become. Because the end result of fear and worry are always harm. I believe in the recent weeks, the fear of flu was just about as debilitating as the flu itself. You know, we were doing strange things because we were afraid of the flu. And we're the people of God. We have God in our lives. And I know flu is bad. I didn't want it. You know? But I shouldn't let fear drive me, right? I should be driven by God. Just as fear consumes panic crowds, it can also cripple believers, and it leads to weakness and self-loathing and unstable thoughts. How do I know that fear produces weakness and self-loathing and unstable thoughts? Because God gives an answer to fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but power instead of weakness, and love instead of self-loathing, and a self-discipline instead of unstable thoughts." You see, God gives us the cure for worry. You have the power to combat fear and worry. You have the power to combat fear and worry in your life. You have the love to overcome fear and worry. You have the sound mind and self-discipline to overcome fear and worry. You possess that. Because God has given it to you. So if you're worried about anything, turn to God, because He's the God of peace. Accept His gifts of power and love and self-discipline and stand against this tyranny of worry, because the enemy can use worry to totally destroy your life. I can tell you, I've seen worry and what it can do. So I recommend you just choose, as you're walking this pilgrim path, that today you decide to leave worry here, okay? So on that paper where you wrote that worry, I want you to circle it and say, "Left it here," and write the date. If you intend to do that, if you intend to leave that worry right where it is, write it down there, "Left it here," right here, on this date. It is now in your past. It won't help you. And it can cause you great harm, so let it go. Worry could be the very thing that is keeping you from true peace with God and with your circumstance. If worry hinders peace, then 2, prayer helps peace. It does. Prayer is the best solution to worry. Verse 6 says, "Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done." We're to pray and petition God for everything. And prayer keeps us focused on God and His care. Isn't that cool? Whether we know what to pray or not, whether we know what to say or not, if we just put ourselves in an attitude of prayer, it will keep us focused on the things we should be focused on. It's a beautiful thought. Even the smallest concerns should be considered as sources and needs for prayer. Corrie ten Boom, I like what she said. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. But I can tell you, having prayed with little children at the altar many, many times, there's nothing too little for God. There's nothing too insignificant for God. Whatever your mind can imagine, God can help. Whatever you're struggling with, you may not want to share it with anybody else, but you can share it with God, and He wants to help. That's what we're supposed to do. And Isaiah prayed with great understanding. He said, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." That's why the enemy wants you to be worried, because your thoughts go from God to the problem. And he wants you to get your thoughts and mind back focused on the solver of problems. Amen? So what are your thoughts fixed on? Who have you surrendered your worries to? His peace is wonderful. One of the definitions of peace is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. I think the best way to define it is that peace is the absence of worry. Worry displeases God. Peace pleases God. And prayer is the conduit to God's peace. It takes you to that place of peace. It helps peace because prayer blocks worry. Prayer inhibits sin. It stops temptation. I've had little children come in and say, "Pastor Grady, how do I not be tempted?" And I say, "I don't know, but I know prayer really helps. So when you get tempted, just start talking to God." It's amazing how fast a devil will run away when you start talking to God about it. When you go, "You know, hey, Lord, devil's back. He's trying to tempt me again. I just want to talk to you about that because every time he comes to me, it reminds me of what you can do for me." And suddenly the devil's gone. It's just you and God heading down the highway. It's a beautiful thought. If you want to get rid of worry, turn to God in prayer. Prayer brings the assurance of peace. In Matthew 26, Jesus said, "Keep watch and pray so you will not be given in to temptation." So that's just not me saying it. That's Jesus saying it. Be aware and be in prayer. And you'll see temptation has to run away because you are looking to God. Here's fact. As long as you live in this body, you will be tempted. People go, "Pastor, you're tempted?" Ask her. She lives with me. I mess up all the time. I do. I face temptation too. And everybody knows some of my temptations, like anger. You heard me talk about it, right? I have to struggle with that. I have to fight that. That left lane thing, it gets me all the time. I saw a sign. I'm riding down the road the other day, and I saw a sign on I-65, and it said, "Keep right except to pass." And there were 3 million cars in the left lane. I was in no rush. I was in no hurry. I had no place I really had to be. I was just heading back home. And I got angry because the sign said, "Get over," and they were over there. Then I went and talked to Joyce, and she straightened me out. You see how easily I fell into that, though? And I had to fight that. And how do I do that? When I see that, when I recognize that, I have to say, "Lord, you know my heart. You know me. You know that I don't want to be that way. I want to be somebody that people see your peace in. So let your peace flood my soul right now." See, I was getting this message ready. And I know it was the enemy trying to say, "See, you don't have peace, but I do. And if he tries to rob me of my peace, all I got to do is turn back to God and get it back." God gives it every time. That's why we should pursue peace in your thought life. Pursue it. Yeah, the mind's a battlefield. And Satan bombards our thoughts with daily blasts of bad news and gossip and lies. And all of these are designed to disrupt our peace. God tells us in Romans, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So if you just simply say, God, take over. Lead for a while. I messed up. I need you to take this and help me through it. Verse 8 in the text is a description of this mind that is controlled by the Spirit. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You see, I let the enemy get my mind off on something that didn't need to be on. I need to get my mind back on who my source of peace is and look to Him. So to combat these intrusions of Satan into our thought life, and you will have them, God has given us His Spirit to help us focus our thoughts away from worry and doubt and anger and all these other things that come against us, back to these things that are true and honorable and right and praiseworthy and lovely and admirable and excellent and admirable and noteworthy and admirable. God literally produces peace in our thoughts. I'm going to show you. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you weren't sure you had peace and suddenly peace came sweeping in with God? Raise your hand. Look around. Peace. It's amazing. So how do we live in this peace while under the attack of Satan? We just obey the Word of God. That's it. We just walk according to the Word. David wrote in Psalm, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. That's the Word of God. It's giving us direction. Turn away. Focus on the good things. What can you do good? Look for peace. Search for peace. Pursue peace. So you have to ask yourself right now, am I pursuing peace? Am I looking for peace? Martin Luther King recognized this peace as God intended. He said, peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. Peace takes us there. It's the vehicle we take there. Peace is a process. You've heard me talking these last several weeks about the importance of process as a disciple. It's not about winning or losing. Our team wins anyway. It's about becoming the best that we can possibly be me. The best me I can be. I can't be you. You can't be me. But we can become the best me possible. And that's by submitting ourselves to this wonderful process. And peace is a process. And as you focus your thoughts on peaceful things, then your actions will become peaceful. It's an amazing transformation that takes place. You can literally, by thinking about peace, bring peace to your whole situation. And you'll display it. It becomes that fruit of the Spirit again. Peace-filled mind encourages a peace-filled heart. And the peace-filled hearts and minds then produce peace around you. In the same way that you can influence people to be worriers, in the same way that you can spread fear and be a fear-mongerer, you can also be a peace-mongerer. I think I want to be a peacemaker. What about you? So then, because we can do that, then we can practice peace in our daily life. You can literally practice peace. How many of you know that gold medals are won or lost based on practice? I can tell you all competitions are won by practice. You name the competition, it all starts with practice. And you keep practicing until you get it the best that you can. You'll never get it perfect, but you get to become the best you can be. And when you reach your best, it literally could be the world's best. And all these last several days, young people have been rising up to that podium, walking up there, getting that gold medal hung around their neck, hearing their nation's anthem. And they know that they got there because they practiced and they practiced and they practiced when nobody was watching, when there was no crowds adoring, nobody throwing teddy bears out on the ice for them. They just practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. And then they got out there and they did great because of that. Well, see, you need to practice. In fact, verse 9 says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me do it. Then the God of peace will be with you. Just keep doing it. Peace is an attribute that God expects us to put into practice. you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to be living out peace. It's part of the process of this journey. 1 Corinthians 7:15, God has called you to live in peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. You know, some people look out into the universe and they see chaos. I've heard these brilliant scientific minds say, the chaotic universe. It's perfectly ordered. I mean, we know exactly when the sun's going to come up in the morning, when it's going to set this afternoon. And we can predict that for thousands of years into our future. There's so much order in this universe that God has put us into. He's a God of order. So if you're practicing peace, there will be order in your life. Your life will have an orderly pattern to it. You will know that you have peace because you can see the effects of peace in your life. You can trust the Lord Jesus to lead you to peace. He will always do that. If you're not sure how to get to peace, ask God to take you. He will. Jesus came to guide us to the path of peace. Isaiah says, you will live in joy and peace. I mean, it doesn't get any plainer than that. That's the Word of God. Old and New Testament. It's there for you to see. Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives His people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Now, you might get a useless gift from your Aunt Sally. But God will never give you a blessing that you cannot use. And peace is a gift from God that you can use. You can change your circumstances with peace. I shared a few weeks ago about how when I was trying to win my brother to the Lord, I was so frustrated, I was so concerned because my brother had been diagnosed with cancer and he was going to die. And I'm going, God, all these years, you know, and God had spared him as a child at my request and saved his life, and I was so concerned about it. And then God told me he's got it. And peace flooded my soul. And the next time I talked to my brother, instead of being afraid and being fearful and being so concerned about his soul, I was at peace. And he's going, something different about you. I said, I know God's got it. What? God's got it. I don't have to preach to you. I don't have to tell you get saved. I don't have to do any of those kind of things. I don't have to tell you sin's going to lead you to hell. You know all those things. I just got to tell you I love you. I'm looking for the day when God saves you. Because he's going to. Because he told me. And I got peace. It wasn't long. My brother was saved. And I'm convinced that God used a peace that he gave me to show my brother that he could have the same thing. And I can tell you that even on the day he died, my brother and me and my family had peace. He passed away with my hand on his chest, with the gaithers singing, Jesus, my wonderful friend. And he's with the Lord. And I'll see him again. And I have peace. That calm assurance is there. Peace is yours. It's yours. It's a gift from God, and you can have it. Robert Fulghum summed it up. He said, peace is not something you wish for. It's something you make, something you do, something you are, and something you give away. Something you make, something you do, something you are, something you give away. Are you making peace? Are you practicing peace? Are you living peace? Are you sharing peace? I don't know if Joyce will remember this or not, but a few months ago we were having a conversation and I was facing the kind of a challenging conversation with someone, and I said, I'm not sure how to do this, so all I'm going to do is kind of practice. She said, well, you need to have peace. You need to have peace. And I said, well, I'm going to have to practice that. It was like a left lane situation. You know, you got to practice it. I think the Lord is teaching me patience. I used to pray for patience. I quit doing that. Now I pray for shorter lines and clear left lanes. But Joyce led me correctly. And so you know what I did? I thought of what I was going to be facing, and I thought, how could I respond in peace? And it changed everything. My attitude, my being centered into peace, changed it all. And that can happen for you too. We've seen that worry leads to great harm. But the Bible tells us peace does something better. Psalm 37:37 says, a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. Wonderful future if you love peace. So the final question is, which will you choose? Worry or peace? Worry is easy. It's our go-to, right? It's our human go-to. Oh, wow, what's going to happen? But that worry stands between you and peace. And it is sin. And it will harm you. So whatever that worry is, you got to let it go. You got to leave it with Jesus. Let it go. Give it to God. Ask God to forgive you for that worry. And put your trust in Him. Prayer brings peace, so we should pursue it in our thought life, and we should practice it in our daily life. So listen carefully. Which fills your mind, worry or peace? Which guides your activities, worry or peace? Which consumes your life, worry or peace? Which is in your future, worry or peace?